As varied as our topography and soils, as rich as our resources, so varied and rich are the voices and stories of the folks around us. Come neighbor a bit with me, Sam Stroop. Grab a cup of coffee, pull up a comfy chair, let's get to talking. Okay, I'm here with Randy and Amy Edwards, and they're home here in Armstrong. And I don't know when it happened, but at some point I was visiting with y'all and found out that Randy was into country music and Amy into clogging and did radio advertising. And so one thing led to another, and I thought, wow, we need to let the world know what's going on in Armstrong. So Randy mentioned something about how he was tinkering with building a harmonica, and that caught my attention. But before we go into any of that, let's go backwards a ways. Where were you raised, Randy?
Topeka, Kansas.
Okay. Did your family, music was important to them?
Oh, it was opposite.
Just the opposite.
It was opposite.
Okay.
Basically, I didn't start playing much until after I moved out from my parents when I was like 18.
Mm-hmm. Just a curiosity or a mutual friend that was into music that got you tuned in? Or?
Well, I had moved in with some people, and there was one of the guys in the house. You know how it was back then? A whole bunch of guys rent an old house. I think there were five of us living in this big old house.
Flop houses, you bet.
And he had a guitar player.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have money for a guitar, but I could afford a harmonica, at least back then. And I bought a harmonica and started learning to play it.
Did you learn some different techniques from various other harmonica players, or was everything you do self-taught?
Most of it was self-taught in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We moved to Austin in 1984. I started playing back in 69, and in 84 I did take some lessons back, but before that I was all self-taught, just basically buy records of harmonica players and figure out what they were doing.
Do you think you've developed a style that's at all different from other folks?
I think so.
In what ways? Can you describe it at all without playing it, or loosey-goosey, or...
I know, it's a little different. It's a little different. I do several different types of styles. So I've tried to, I don't know if I master any of them, but I can do a little bit of all of them.
Yeah. Your very first harmonica was just something you basically picked up at a dime store, or what?
Well, I picked up a music store.
Okay.
Yeah.
What might it have cost back then? 15? Hmm? What might it have cost back then? Any idea?
A Marine Band cost $4.25.
Wow, wow. So it took an hour or two to pay for it anyway, of working, I mean.
Yeah. Now, I have a Marine Band. I just bought top-of-the-line Marine Band. They cost $85 now.
Okay. Still an affordable instrument.
Hmm?
Still an affordable instrument.
Yeah, but from $450 to $85, but... You know, at that time I was working for a dollar an hour, too, so...
Yeah. Did you pretty quickly get several harmonicas? Because they all have a different key or something, isn't that true?
Yes, I had a whole bunch of different keys at one time. Right now, I've only got a few keys, but I'm not playing it with a band, so... And then there's many types. The Hohner makes over 160 different types of harmonicas.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of different types.
Mm-hmm.
There's chord harmonicas, there's chromatic harmonicas, there's bass harmonicas, the tremolo harmonicas, you name it. You know, that on and on.
Mm-hmm. So let's say a band comes together and they have a certain style of music, mm-hmm. and they decide they want somebody who frequently is playing a harmonica in their group. Does that kind of a guy need to have how many harmonicas to keep his band happy?
Generally, I needed six mostly,
okay.
because those are the six keys that most people play in. And I also play chromatic harmonica, which is basically has a button on it. I don't know if you've seen the ones that
have. No, I haven't.
They have a button on the side. Mm-hmm. And basically you press a button and it's like hitting a black key on the piano.
Huh, huh.
So it's got all the notes in it.
Right. Interesting. That raised the question of, are the harmonicas you buy tuned to what, and then the rest of the band needs to tune to the harmonica? Because you can't change your harmonica like you can a guitar. Follow my question at all?
Oh, yes. Well, it's they're already tuned to A440.
Okay.
Or basically close.
The harmonica or
harmonica,
the whole band?
Yes. So okay. You're going to work with... But they have... their tuning is not nearly what it used to be, almost on a lot of the harmonicas. So I will go in and I will retune the harmonica and make sure that it's all tuned properly. They're still made in Germany, most of them.
Hmm.
But they ship the parts to be assembled and tuned in China now.
Amazing.
So the problem with that is the Chinese are down and dirty on their tuning. Not
right.
As quick as you can. And one harmonica I'm going to, that I'll play for you later, it's a good harmonica, but I have to replace the comb because the comb leaks, and then have to go through and tune every reed because there wasn't a single reed that was in tune.
Great grief.
But, and there's all kinds of different adjustments people can make on the reed. So, and there's books on how to care for them and stuff.
Huh. Now, I had no idea of all that.
But you can tune a harmonica.
Okay. Huh. Explain it all, what that process might look like of tuning a harmonica.
Well, basically, it's got a vibrating reed.
Okay.
And if you take a file, file just a little bit of brass off the tip, that'll raise the pitch.
Hmm.
Now, if you go and file just a little bit off the back part of the reed, that makes it a little thinner, that'll lower the pitch. But that's, filing off the back part of the reed is something you want to avoid as much as possible because that can weaken the reeds.
Huh. And so you get a harmonica from China and it's kind of screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
How long might it take you to go through that tuning process?
Take me about an hour.
Oof, yeah. That's not as bad as I thought it'd be, though. Of course, you've done it a lot, so
oh, yes.
It can go pretty fast for you.
Oh, yeah. And I've got a good tuner.
Amy, do you ever get tired of hearing him playing the harmonica, or does it relax you?
Actually, I'm used to it. It's kind of like I get concerts every day if I want them. And that's fine. You know, he also plays Happy Birthday for me, you know, once a year and, you know, all those things.
Yeah. Going back a little bit to your attempts at making a harmonica, was that for the fun of it, or you're just tired of getting Chinese harmonicas that just aren't up to snuff anymore?
I wanted a harmonica that would, you know, hold up and work. And I'm still working on it. Hopefully someday I'll get one that will be what I want it to be.
Where are you at? What are you doing so far to make this harmonica that might make you happy?
Well, I've experimented making lots and lots of reeds and trying all kinds of different materials, and I'm still working on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the next thing you want to try with reed material?
I've got a brass that's a tempered brass that I'm working on, and I don't know.
Yeah. Will the tone out of these seem quite different from the normal reeds are made out of wood or something?
No, they're made out of brass.
Oh, they're made out of brass.
Well, actually, there's several materials that are being used for reeds.
Okay.
So some's brass, some's bronze, and they're using a company called Seidel is using stainless steel.
Are you having to, in your working with making harmonica, are you using just tools you get out of your toolbox, or have you had to buy a bunch of special cutting material?
Oh, yes. I've got a milling machine in the basement, and it's a good professional quality milling machine.
Wow.
So, and the reeds have to be cut within 1/2 of a 1/1000th to be able to work properly. Mm-hmm. So you got to be pretty precise on some of this stuff.
Is the length of the reed what makes the different notes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, longer the deeper your, lower your pitch, the shorter, the higher the pitch. Basically, it's how fast the reed vibrates.
Okay.
It sets up beats in the air.
Does the width vary at all?
It does on different harmonicas, yeah. Okay.
But on any one harmonica, the lengths would vary, but the widths are probably going to be the same?
On some it's the same.
Okay.
On some it varies.
Wow.
It depends on the the harmonica.
It kind of hurts my head to think of how much you're carrying up here in harmonica knowledge.
Well, I also built parts for a harmonica company at one time.
Hmm.
And they made custom harmonicas, and I built some of the parts on my milling machine and sold them to the harmonica company that sold custom harmonicas.
Where did all this take place? Down in Austin?
In Austin.
Right. Going back to that experience, what took you from Kansas to Texas? Was it music?
Well, tell you the truth, that I decided to move there. A lot of reason was employment.
Okay.
The economy was fairly depressed. I had gone and interviewed for a job, and they called me back 5 times. Mm-hmm. I got 5 interviews with this one company, and finally, after the 5th interview, I didn't get the job.
What would that job have been all about?
It was working at a lumber yard.
Yeah. And this was in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you just said, I've had it. I'm going to Texas.
Oh, yeah, really.
I have one chance to be in the mecca of, is it number 2 to Nashville, or is it now number 1 in country music and just music in general?
It's number 1 in live music. Live music. They call it the live music capital of the world.
Uh-huh.
And there's hundreds of bands.
Hmm. Did you know anybody down there?
No.
Wow.
We just picked up and moved, didn't we?
Wow.
He put a mattress in the back of his truck,
and
it had a topper on it. And so that.
No, that was a van. That was a white van.
Oh, that was the van. Excuse
okay.
me. And then he had a place to sleep, if, mm-hmm. you know, and he found a place for us to live, and we lived in a barn. We lived in an actual barn for a year, 2 years, mm-hmm. I don't remember. But it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The whole front wall of the barn opened.
Uh-huh.
You know, we didn't just have a door, we had a whole wall. But it was.
Well, it was converted into a home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We had Saltillo tile floors and that kind of thing, but it was really kind of a cool mm-hmm. place to live, mm-hmm. except you know the doors that you know any animals or whatever could get in that door if we didn't shut it completely, but you know that didn't happen often.
Well, we still have an occasional snake come visiting us in our house, and
we have one that lives on the back porch here.
There you go.
Or for a while did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a rat snake that lived on the south side here. I guess
they're good buddies. You bet.
Come up and lay on the porch there because it's warm, and that's mm-hmm. where he kept coming up. But I got rid of him. He decided he didn't like it there.
For a while, my boys were sleeping in the basement, and we had the TV down there, and there was this big black snake would come into the house and lay on the ledge in the basement and watch TV with them. And they named him Fred after my dad.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Say, oh, there's Fred. I wonder if he likes his station or what his brother.
Yeah, I really don't care much for snakes, but I'm a girl, so I'm allowed. I'm allowed not to like
them. So did you leave employment behind when you moved to Texas?
Yeah, because I had worked, when I met Randy, I was working, writing radio commercials
mm-hmm.
For a station in Austin.
Yeah.
Or in Topeka, excuse me, Topeka. And it was, you know, I got awards. I got, you know, it was mm-hmm. fun. And, but I didn't really miss the, you know, it wasn't, what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Yeah, okay. So you didn't cry when you left it necessarily?
No. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. But now I'm not originally from Topeka. Okay. I'm originally from Abilene.
Oh, okay.
So, boyhood home of Ike.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the grade schools, the elementary schools mm-hmm. in Abilene are all named after assassinated presidents. Huh? So if I ever get on Jeopardy, I hope they ask me that because I will know for sure.
Well, Abilene kind of feels like a lot of the parts of Texas, doesn't it?
No.
No, okay. All right, sorry. That sounds no, like I was insulting
not
you.
So much. No, Abilene's Abilene, but mm-hmm. it's not.
So you're off gung-ho. Let's do it. Where you lead me, I will follow. Let's go
yeah.
to Austin.
Yeah. Huh? We've kind of, you know, mm-hmm. we've well, been they, here, there, and everywhere. Yeah.
They call Austin the blueberry and the tomato soup because it's very
politics,
liberal.
Right.
But in Texas, they say it's a blueberry and the tomato soup.
And they don't mix too well.
But it's a very liberal city.
Yeah. Now, you probably both found some employment pretty quick down there.
Oh, yeah.
Might not have been your joy job, but you moved right into work.
I worked for the Texas Medical Association. Okay. I babysat thousands, I swear, of doctors. Mm-hmm. But they would call, "How I can't make my computer do this."
And I'm
like, "I don't know."
Yeah.
But there was... the doctors, some of them were really, really cool and really, mm-hmm. really fun. And some of them were, there was one that I remember that would come to the workshops that they had and he'd sign in and it would be like, this is how he would sign in. And I'm going, "Oh my God, I hope he is not a surgeon." Because he was,
hands were quaking so bad.
And a lot of the elderly doctors would come to the meetings to get extra to get points on their mm-hmm. On their license.
Yeah.
So and that way a lot of them kept their licenses up because then they could write prescriptions for the family.
Sure.
At Thanksgiving they you know be writing prescriptions for everybody for in the family and that way they felt like they were useful.
Well, I can tell that was your dream job too then. Well, let's go ahead and hear something kind of lively from you, Randy, and then I got some more questions to throw at you. Could we do that?
What? Here's
the on music. The harmonica?
Yeah, let me go out
okay.
to the kitchen. Let me kind of warm up here before you record.
Okay, so Randy's our one-man Armstrong country band. And I asked him to play something he'd enjoy throwing at us. So go ahead and do it, Randy. Marvelous. That really was. That was marvelous. Once you got to some jobs and a barn to live in Austin, how'd you start getting in on the music scene?
Well, I had been playing in bands in Topeka okay. for some time. And then before I met Amy, I had a liquor store. And I ended up getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. And basically lost everything.
Mm.
And then took off with a road band. And we did Ramada Inns, lounges, full tuxedo.
Wow.
You know, but a lot of people thought, a lot of people in the rock era thought, that's, you know, kind of selling out. Mm. You see the Blues Brothers, the guys, that, you know,
right.
who were stuck in the hotel. But, hey, the money's good.
Wow.
And, you get a steady gig for quite a while, so mm-hmm. it's a lot better than the bar scene.
Mm-hmm.
And did that,
So it was your band from Kansas was in going to with you to Austin to do all this? Or?
No, okay. This was before we moved to Austin.
Okay, gotcha. This was
before I even met Amy.
Okay, that's how you got in.
Road band.
Right.
So I won the Mid-America Fair Talent Contest 1 year. And that kind of gave me some incentive because it was like 300 people in the competition. I came out on top, so I thought that was okay. Then I went to Austin and basically went out to bars, went out to jam sessions, started meeting people, went out to a jam session at a place called the Blue Bayou, which you get two free beer, you play there, and you got two free beers and a plate of jambalaya.
Huh.
And it was good. And they liked me enough, they wanted me to join the house band. So I joined the house band and played there. And then from there, I met all kinds of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And
all you got to do is stick your toe in the door. And if you got talent, it happens, I guess.
I don't know.
Sounds like that's the way it happened.
Well, yeah, but then I got lucky and got involved with a really good band for about 3 years in Austin.
Okay.
So I was with a really, really good band for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, and the people in it were, I was probably the least of any of the musicians. So that made me feel good because I'd rather be in a band where I'm the least than the best.
And they were a country and western band or what?
Country punk.
Country punk.
Country punk. Mm-hmm. It was a... They described themselves as had a female singer as Patsy Cline meets Devo.
Wow.
So Austin has some very eclectic music.
Right. What they call themselves as a band?
It's Miss Xanadont and the Wanted.
Okay.
And she had a beehive that was about a foot high.
Oh my. When would you play with them? Like weekends or every night or how'd that work?
We would practice two nights a week and play two to three nights a week. And then sometimes we did front for national acts and do like Dallas, San Antonio, and Houston with the national acts that we'd front for.
Want to play something else for us?
All right, well.
That stuff's good or better than the talk.
Let's see here. Do you have any requests? Any old songs that you like?
I'm not sure if you know the song that's been in my head lately, I don't know that you could do. It's that song from the 70s, Wildfire. The horse?
Don't know that one.
Yeah, okay. So you just have to come up with something.
Well, okay. Well, this is my rendition of one that by W.C. Handy.
So for the folks who aren't here in this room, maybe they could pick it out just with their ears. But Randy's got a harmonica around his neck, a tenor guitar in his hand, and he's running the drum with his feet.
And I have...
Go for it, man. When you are playing the harmonica, is your air going through multiple holes at a time, or are you going through just a couple, or follow my question at all on that?
Yeah, yeah, it depends on what I'm playing. You can play single note.
Okay.
Or you can expand your mouth out a little bit.
And so it's set up to where if you expand it, it's playing a chord, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can play octaves. That's called splits.
Okay. And what about the force of the air going through? Does that just give you more volume or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then also you can bend the notes, yeah, which you can get your half steps by bending the notes, which you change the air pressure and in your mouth and make them bend.
Now, with so much going on, you can't do it, but I remember seeing harmonic players with their hand up over the outside of it. What's that do to it? Or am I imagining things?
No, that does. You can get like a vibrato out of that. But you know, I can't do that.
No.
When I'm playing the guitar.
So you haven't trained Amy to do it for you, huh?
Really, you don't want me to play.
I guess it's pretty easy to figure out why that machine is also called a mouth organ.
This one I have here, this is the large Hohner and marine band. This is a small Hohner marine band.
Okay.
And this one is customized. I've customized this instrument. And this one has a larger reach, and it's got a little different tone to it. And it works best for your traditional old campfire type harmonica, rather than blues or country style.
Okay. Is there music written for harmonicas?
Oh, yes.
Or is it always just, okay.
Oh, it's even, people have even written classical for harmonica.
Huh. So you can go get music that tells you, hey, try it this way. It's not all just.
You can go onto the internet, and it's called harmonica tablature.
Okay.
And it shows what note you blow in.
Okay.
And whether you bend that note or not.
Huh, huh. Do you ever write down any music or just kind of wing it a little bit?
I pretty much wing it.
I think that's more the harmonica style, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're probably the jazz.
Now, there's been a lot of songs that I have got the music for, and I've learned how to play. For instance, I had to play, I was working in a ballet at one time, and they want me to play Greensleeves, and I had to pull up the music because there are lots of flats and sharps in that song.
Interesting. Interesting. When you're with a band, are you kind of your own man, or do they make suggestions to you and you work together to make some changes in what you had in your head for the music involved?
Usually I just go along with whatever the band leader wants and try and do whatever they feel is best for their music, you know. Because usually somebody's like the musical director of the band. And
he kind of gives you some direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like where they want me to come in, what they want me to do. And
right.
You know.
This, I don't know why I put this question about him, but maybe it's just an awful one, but do you think at all in harmonica? When you hear different types of music, you think, man, they should put a harmonica rift in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that is a fair question. Yes, I do think in harmonica.
Yeah.
Yeah. The neck thing around you, is that comfortable, or do you have to really totally different than when you're holding the harmonica?
It's different.
Okay.
It's different. It takes it took a lot of adjustment to get used to. You see, most of the people who use these, Bob Dylan, they do that very simple stuff like that, you know. So it took a while to be able to actually play it more than just throw a few chords in there, you know.
Because you have to move your head. Whereas if you don't have that thing on, you get to move everything with your hands.
Exactly.
And it makes it a whole lot harder with it moving your head, don't it? And making things smooth. Sure. A while back I said, can you play something sad or dark or any ideas on that? Is that something you could go at?
Yeah, well, Here's one that, you know, I think you might find sad or dark.
Okay.
Get everything situated here. Got. Dark enough.
Oh, that raised the hair on the back of my neck. This is a scary question, but other than your wife Amy and I and you, does anybody else in Armstrong know of your talent? Do you ever play for anybody?
I played the Christmas party one year. One year, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, when this gets out, there may be people wanting some harmonica lessons. Is it an instrument that you can get to where you can enjoy and have some fun with pretty quick compared to other instruments? Or is that not a true instrument at all?
You know, I have had some people tell me they pick up a harmonica and say, this is easy to play. And I've had other people tell me it's the most difficult instrument I've ever tried to play. So it's... Mm-hmm. All depends on
the level of perfectionism you want to have, I guess.
Well, some people take to other instruments. Mm-hmm. We had a piano. I've got a keyboard. I've tried to play keyboard for years. Just can't seem to master it. Mm-hmm. Where other people can sit down at a keyboard and,
Give us another one. Have you got one in you?
Oh, I got 100 of
them. You'll be sorry you asked.
That's the old style campfire type harmonica
play. Right. That was great. Have you had your fun with it, or do you feel like there are goals you placed for yourself that you weren't able to achieve with your music?
There's always goals I'm working on. Okay. there's always music I'm working on, and there's songs I'm always trying to master. Mm-hmm. It's music is something that... a lifetime pursuit, to master it is almost, there's always something else. Mm-hmm.
Is this something you do in stints, or is it something that just about every day you get out the instruments and have some fun with?
Almost every day.
Wow.
Almost every day. And then either that or sometimes I might play my saw. I play musical saw. I played in the River Rat show in Boonville. I had
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day mm-hmm. show. I played musical saw for them. Mm-hmm. So, and there's several other instruments I play too.
Is saw something you enjoy demonstrating for us?
Oh, sure.
I'm going to put this
chairs.
Describe what you got in your hands here, Randy.
Okay, well, I've got a musical saw and a bow, violin bow. Mm. And then run the bow across the back of the...
So it doesn't go across the teeth of the saw?
No, okay. No, that wouldn't be good on the bow at all.
Okay, go for it.
But they, you know, the old thing is... the bow said to the carpenter, scratch my back and I'll play you a song.
So. You got another one in you?
Well, I don't know. We'll try.
Now, the different notes on the saw come from moving up and down with the saw's width. Is that what's going on?
Well, basically, you bend it in an S, and then that's where your bow needs to go onto the saw. So you have to move the bow up and down the saw, and then bend it like you bend a real hard S. Or you bend your, put your curve down at the bottom. Mm. And then wherever your note is, you move the bow up to where you put that curve in the saw. And that's...
How old is the tradition of playing saws?
Dated back to the 12th century.
My goodness.
It's been around a while.
Uh-huh. Now, sometimes they'll do something with a hammer instead of a bow.
Uh-huh. Some people do use a hammer. I prefer a bow.
Mm-hmm.
More sustain.
Yes, I see that. Explain what modifications you made to that harmonica and why.
Well, basically, this is the large marine band. It has comes with a wood comb.
Okay.
Which is not airtight.
Define the comb a little more as to what that is on.
That's the inside.
Okay.
That's the inside where the holes are.
Okay.
And what I did is I machined this out of plexiglass, which is a good acoustic material. A lot of harmonicas are even made professionally. And then I put in a whole bunch of different screws to bolt it down real tight. Mm-hmm. So it's good and airtight. And then I went through the entire instrument and fine-tuned the entire instrument.
Amazing. And then you tell this guitar is really different. Tell me about it.
Well, that's a tenor guitar. It's a four-string guitar, and it is tuned like a tenor banjo. And basically, the chords are made exactly like tenor banjo, and that's what I started on. Mm. My dad had a banjo when he was a kid, never could learn how to play it. And so I had a string instrument that I learned how to play that, and then I switched over to guitar because I like the tone is a little better on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically a guitar body with banjo neck on it.
Okay. So if you know the banjo, you can just pick up that guitar and go with it.
Tenor banjo.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
The five string is what you hear in bluegrass.
Okay.
tenor banjo was the old ragtime type banjo.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember Shakey's Pizza Parlor.
Okay, yes.
Well, that's the old chinka chinka chinka.
What's another song you'd enjoy playing with whatever combination of stuff you want to put together?
Well,
okay, go ahead.
This is a song I won talent show at the Mid-America Fair. It's called the National Limited. That was a train that went from Kansas City to New York, which I rode on one time. So I kind of invented this song about that trip I took on the National Limited. So this, you've heard of the Orange Blossom Special? Well, this is the National Limited.
I'm going to check out your coffin to see how many harmonicas you snuck into it.
Now, when he used to play this on stage with one of the bands he was with, they would get to the end, and then one of the others would say, "Come on, Randy, you can make that train go a little faster," and it would be like, "Bah, bah, bah."
And it was insane. They kept it going faster and faster and faster.
And it was like, it was insane. It was so cool, though.
Should we hear a little bit of that? Are you not up to the speed thing anymore?
I can't pull it.
Come on, Randy. I know you can do that faster.
Come on, Randy.
Is a little more red now.
Oh yeah.
Your hair's a little messy too now.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of blowing there.
Oh yeah.
Right. What was this maybe Amy maybe as you mentioned that you worked with the ballet once. What was that all about?
Oh, well, I had a friend who was in the Topeka Ballet, and I like to dance, so you know, and so she was doing a ballet of the
Little Match Girl or something?
No, it wasn't Little Match Girl. It was Dickens, Scrooge.
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol, okay. Thank you. And I got to be one of the Fezziwig dancers at the Fezziwig party. Mm-hmm. And but she wanted to have harmonica in the music that was playing. And so Randy was on stage and he stood there and then one of the little ballerinas, the little girls, jumped on his back and he carried her off stage, piggyback. But he played harmonica. He wrote a song specifically for that show.
Wow.
My parents drove from Abilene to Topeka to see it. Uh-huh. And they were impressed. They were glad that we didn't embarrass ourselves, I think, more than anything. And, you know, ballet is a whole lot different than usually, you know, I've clogged for many years.
Yes.
And it's a whole lot different than ballet, I can tell you. But it's, you know, I'm not a ballet type. I'm not a little tiny girl.
Now, so much of that is a dark story.
Uh-huh.
And was that brought up through in the ballet too?
To a degree.
Okay.
But
not as dark as the
book,
then.
But the thing is, there were a lot of little kids.
Yeah.
You know, they were the kids were going were from, I would say, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Up, and so the you know.
Yeah. Let's not scare these little kids so bad when they're performing that they won't be able to sleep tonight.
and you know, but it was pretty evenly divided between adult dancers and little kids. But it was like this scene would have these people in it, this scene would have, you know, and so on. So he actually was on stage standing by a lamp post or something.
And then did the ballerina, then I finished my song, the ballerina jumped on my back, I carried her on. And you know, it was just little ballerina, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, she jumps on my back the first time and it's like, oh my God, it's like a rock on my back. This girl was so, you can't believe how hard this little girl was.
Yeah,
I mean, she was a really good dancer, but boy, you got to have a lot of respect for those. I mean, she was an athlete. She looked soft, but uh-uh.
Yeah, he told me that, and I said, well, yeah.
So what took place between Austin and Armstrong? Anything, or did you leave Austin and come to the city?
Well, basically, we moved back here because her father had gotten ill, and we had moved back.
Well, my mother, too.
And her mother, too, and so we could move back so we could be closer to the family.
And they were located where?
Abilene.
Abilene, okay.
Abilene. But, you know, that's a few-hour drive from here. Mm-hmm. You know, Austin is 12 to 14, depending on the traffic. And, you know, that's, we could go there and get back in the same day, leave in the morning, get back in the evening.
Yeah.
But from Austin, and especially after that 12 to 14-hour drive, you're kind of like, ugh.
My daughter-in-law just took her kids to see my son and his kids for spring break, and they're in San Antonio. Uh-huh. They drove straight through 17 hours in traffic.
Yeah, we're too old to do that.
Sure, anymore. I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you fall in love with Armstrong or the house or both? Or?
Actually, the funny thing about this house is my father, at age 5, helped his father build this same house, only mirror image, in Solomon, Kansas. But it is exactly my grandmother's house.
Because this is a Sears house?
It is a Sears kid house. He and his father walked down from their house to where they lived, actually. My father, when he was very young, they lived in a cave. They did not have a house. But you're talking, you know, Depression, of course. But he walked down to the train tracks with his father, and they carried all the stuff back up to the house, up to where they were going to build, and the boys slept in the basement, and the girls stayed in one bed in the upstairs, and then he is the second child of 7. And
what year are we talking about that the house would have been put together?
Well,
35 maybe.
This house was built in 1925.
Okay.
It's got the gentleman Summers.
Okay.
Who ran the
elevator
here?
Yeah, Robert Bob Summers.
Wrote down on the wall, November 11th, built by A. Summers, November 11th, 1925, is written down on the wall in the basement. That.
Wow.
In the concrete.
Was that about
my father? My father was born in 1920.
Okay.
And so
about the same time then.
And he
went, he was in the 3C camp, and he then, of course, he was in the Army for, he in World War II and Korea, and he would have gone back for Vietnam, but mother would not let him. And she says, no, I've got these kids here, and you need to stay here. And, but he was very good at when he came to see this house to make sure we had a decent place to live. We took him down to the basement, and he had his tape measure, and he was measuring those the boards across the the bottom.
Right.
And you know, but he recognized the house immediately. I recognized it right away. This is a much higher dollar house than what the house he built with his father when he was little was the bare bones. It was, you know, the very...
Any idea what that would have cost through Sears and Roebuck at that time?
I have no clue.
No idea.
But I imagine that there's probably in some library somewhere would have that information. Mm-hmm. But I don't know for sure. And he's gone now. Mm-hmm. Both of my parents are gone, so...
Yeah. Well, the figure, whatever it is so unrealistic to us today that it's almost meaningless.
Oh,
because
yes.
I'm sure it still costs them. A lot.
Maybe
even had to go to the bank to borrow it.
Like my grandfather had a farm and his hands were making 10 cents an hour.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Back in the 30s and plus 10 cents an hour and 3 gallons of milk a week.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's also relative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just different. It's just a different world.
Yeah.
And I think the world is still changing and going to keep changing.
Well, the shocker to me is as I go around thinking about this program is just how many amazing people are just right here in Howard County around me. And you all are right up there with those. But there's so many more. Got one last song you want to go out on, or have we gotten them all out of you?
Well, you got any suggestions? Anything I do well? Or?
Randy, you do everything well.
Feels more like Saturday night to me than Friday afternoon. It's been a real treat.